Do you know who this special man is here? What's his full name? Tedson. Tedson, teddy bear. That's disrespectful, but his full name is Tedson Campagna. There we go. But it's great to have you with us. I know that it's been a super full 3 weeks with each other. And I'm really excited about the sermon this morning. It looks as if we're going to be learning about fish. I see a fish on the screen here. But let's open up our hearts and ready to receive. Thank you.
Amen. Wow. Thank you, everybody. Folks, it is such an honor to be here. I've had such a fantastic time. Busy. We've done a lot, many, many conversations, many activities. It's just been unforgettable. Let me share a couple things with you, okay? Today's sermon is going to be about spiritual warfare. It's possible that I will say things that could trigger you. That is not my intention. I am not speaking to one person. I'm speaking to all persons. This is the way of the world, and we live in this world, and we're going to be attacked spiritually. And so really, this sermon is about preparing for that and being ready for that. I know that you all have gone through some things here. You're not the only ones. It's happening worldwide, globally. And I'm not just talking about churches that are somehow connected to our movement. I'm talking about churches everywhere. In my conversations with spiritual men and women, it's unavoidable, meaning you can't not draw a conclusion that Satan is after us. And so we're going to talk about that a little bit today. Now I'm going to use a number of scriptures, but I will send you in a handout about 50 scriptures that I studied in preparing for this. Obviously, I'm not going to present 50 scriptures today. We'll look at a couple, three or four in depth. But you can do as big of a study as you want to do this, but here's my warning to you. Don't immerse yourself in Satan. We're to immerse ourselves in Jesus Christ, right? So we do have to know our enemy, because our enemy is after us. So we need to know his schemes. We need to know his strategies. We need to know how and when and where and why he attacks us. And so we'll go over a good bit of that today. But I do not recommend that anybody here just dive into the ways of Satan. That's not a good idea. We need to stay as close to God as we can. We need to have Christ living in us, being filled with his Holy Spirit, being in step with his Holy Spirit, making sure that we're not crushing his spirit within us. And so all these things, very, very practical today, okay? So I hope you enjoy it. And again, if something triggers you, I'll say it again, that is certainly not my intention, okay? I've been through this too. So I know what it's like to be triggered. I know what it's like to have your emotions pour out suddenly. It's like, whoa, what is that? Am I losing it? It can be very, very difficult for us. Okay, so that being said, how many people have seen the movie Finding Nemo? Okay, we're talking spiritual warfare. I thought we should start with Finding Nemo, okay? So I'm going to show you just a teeny bit of a clip, and then we'll save the rest of it for later, for the end, as long as our technology stays with us. Oh, by the way, as I brought up technology. Nope, that's not what I was going to say. I was going to say, thank you, thank you, thank you, a million times thank you. Yep. So I share this with all of you. In a church this size, everybody is serving. Everybody is serving. My goodness, you are so well led. Servant leaders everywhere in the church, in small groups, in ministries, teaching and training and preaching and technology and the children. I could go on and on and on and on and on. You don't see it. I see it when I come here. It's like, wow, these are servant-hearted people. And you need to know how much God appreciates that. Okay, so keep that in mind. I wanted to make sure I brought that up today. Okay, so here we go with the clip. Are we ready? So that's the way we can feel. It's like a net has come around us and captured us, and everybody's swimming for their lives, and there's confusion, and there's frustration, and we start biting at each other a little bit because of the mess that we're in. We don't know which way it's coming, and we don't know which way to go. And this is what Satan does to us, everybody. I'm going to read a scripture. You can read it with me if you'd like. It's beautiful. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand." To stand. "Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, for that whenever I speak, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should." Let's pray. Great Father, help us to be fearless ambassadors. Lord, help us to proclaim your ways. Help us to put the ways of the world behind us, God. Let us see them clearly, and let us dispense with them, putting them behind us, repenting of those ways and following your ways. God, we see it. We are under attack. And yet, Lord, we have you. We fight an enemy that's already been defeated by the cross. Help us to realize this, but help us to realize he's defeated, but not yet destroyed. He is still here. He can still come among us. He can still ruin us. Help us to understand that. Help us to put on your full armor every moment. Amen. Okay. Alrighty, guys. So I'm going to have a good time today with this, and I hope you do. I'm really, really excited about this. I think what we have to see is we have to pull together before Satan pulls us apart. What I see here since I've been here is you are pulling together. I've seen so many wonderful positive signs. I've seen growth in the time that I've been here. I've seen such enthusiasm for worship and for God's word. I've seen people sacrificing left and right so that God may be glorified. I've seen so many wonderful things. So I would amend my statement here, and I would say, continue pulling together, so that Satan doesn't pull us apart. It's still his desire to pull us apart, everybody. That will always be there, okay? We have the tools. We have the spiritual weapons to fight with, so we're going to review a lot of those things today. You know, when we're pulling together, and when Satan is in our midst, we can experience a lot of emotions, okay? We can experience anger. We can be confused. My goodness, I feel confused. If I'm being honest with myself, I feel confused a lot. You know, when a brother or sister is attacking me, that can be confusing for me. And I say attacking me, I mean doing that with a verbal assault. We've all been verbally assaulted before. Okay, it happens. But what I want to help everybody with is anger and confusion and grieving. These words shouldn't define us. Now, one of those words, grieving, I think we need to grieve, and we probably need to grieve daily. I mean, and we will be blessed. We will be comforted if we are grieving. But I don't think we can let it define us. So grief is a normal response when we see people that we love hurting, okay? These things, they do hurt us, everybody. And so the hurt is real. The pain is real. My encouragement to you is not to run away from the hurt. My encouragement is to recognize the hurt and be healed from it. Recognize the hurt and be healed from it. When I was in the Army, we had something called Motrin. Do you know that word in terms of a drug? Motrin? Ibuprofen? Okay. So, this isn't exactly what we called it, but we called it Army candy. Why? Because we were always in pain. And so we would take Motrin. We would take as much Motrin as we could possibly take, meaning as we'd follow the prescription. But if it said every 8 hours, take 800 milligrams, we were taking 800 milligrams, setting our watch alarm so that we were taking it every 8 hours. Why? Because there was so much inflammation in us. And it hurt. And it decreased our effectiveness. But you know what the problem with that is? You mask the pain. You mask it. You don't treat the pain, you mask it. And so at some point, everybody, we've got to stop masking the pain and we've got to deal with the pain. Okay, that's a very natural thing, all right? We're not an angry people. The people of Christ are not an angry people. We can be angry. That's a feeling and it comes and it should go. We need to make sure that it goes, because if it stays, that would be bitterness. Okay, and we'll talk a little bit about that. But we're going to experience all these emotions. We got to realize what we're experiencing. We need to pray through them. We need to fight through those things with the Word of God and helping each other. And again, we'll talk more about this. So what about Satan? Who is he really? It's amazing what the Bible says. Satan, he's our adversary. He's our opponent. He is our accuser. He's an accuser. He opposes us. He always is trying to bring charges against us. Imagine if we're in a trial and he's the prosecutor. And he's bringing up all of our sins of the past. He's bringing up temptation to the future. He wants to imprison us forever. That is our enemy. He's the devil. He's a slanderer. He lies about us. And he lies about God. That's his nature, everybody. And we'll get to this in a minute. In Genesis 3, it's pretty amazing when you see him working and he's talking to Adam and Eve in the garden. You know, he's pretty close to saying what the scripture actually says. He just twists it ever so slightly. So he acknowledges the word of God, but he says, did God really say that? Is that the way that scripture really goes? Is that really the context of it? And he gets in there and he just plants doubt in his mind, or in our mind rather. In John 8, you know, we see that he's a liar. He is absolutely a liar. Now, let me ask you a question. How many people in here, my hand goes up first, have told a little white lie sometime in the last month? Okay, good, good. I mean, I went up first. He's a liar. That is his character. Everything that he says is filled with lying and deception, which is not to say he won't work some truth in there to confuse us. That's the thing. But he is a liar. His point is to take us away from truth. We see in 1 Peter 5, verse 8, that he's also, my goodness, a roaring lion. He wants to devour us. I don't have to tell you about roaring lions. You know what? For big, loud cats, they can be pretty sneaky, can't they? It's very interesting talking with some of you about encounters you've had with lions. Steve and I have talked about this a lot. Wow. I mean, the stories, it just makes your hair stand up on end. But we have to realize this is Satan, everybody. This is our enemy. This is how God chooses to describe him to us. And so take heed. We need to be warned against him. Okay, now again, I said this earlier. Remember this. He's already defeated. We don't have to defeat him. He was defeated at the cross. So what does that mean to us? It means we got to continuously go back to the cross again and again and again. And we'll talk about that more towards the end. I want you to think about this. Do you remember or do you have something here called a merry-go-round? Okay, so that's something that you're familiar with, right? All right, so I'm trying to decide where I should stand for this. But I was really good at pushing the merry-go-round. And my goal was to push it so fast that people couldn't stay on it. That's really sinister, isn't it? And so if you imagine the center of the merry-go-round here, I'm on that outside. And I'm pushing that thing, and that's so silly for me to do this in front of you. I'm pushing, and I'm pushing, and I'm pushing, and I'm pushing, and I'm pushing. And I'm going, I know, now I'm dizzy. Now I need to go back to the other one. Okay. So I'm pushing this thing as fast as I can, and it goes from being fun to being terrifying. Because now you're going so fast that people can no longer hold on. Or people are getting a little nauseous, which I'm a little nauseous right now just from that. And so that's Satan, everybody. That's Satan. He wants to create this chaos that's fast and confusing, and we can't sort it out. And it's not pow, pow, pow. It's pow, 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 pow. It's coming at us so quickly that we get confused, we get overwhelmed. And sometimes we just run. And running isn't always bad, but we need to know where we're running to. Amen. And so, what's God? Okay, here's the other illustration for God. The sun is the sun. I mean, imagine our solar system without that big star in the middle. That big star in the middle it's our anchor, everybody. It's our gravitational pull. And I know some of you know more about this than I do, but when we were looking at the stars, I'm looking at Glenn because we had a really neat talk about it, but when we were looking at the stars Friday night, it was phenomenal. And Southern Hemisphere, I see a night sky that I never get to see when I come here. So yeah, it is a wow. It's really, really exciting. But when you think of our Earth and our atmosphere, there's this little thing called gravity that protects us. And there's an atmosphere around us. And we're spinning in a circle of over 600 miles per hour. How can that be? Right now, we are spinning in a circle that's over 600 miles per hour. Why is that not blowing us apart? I mean, at least you could take my little bit of hair and kind of make it, you know, go back. But it's shocking, the effect of gravity and the effect of atmosphere. And so if we understand these things, we want the gravity. We want the pull. Our pull needs to be continually back to the cross, back to the cross, back to the cross. Back to Jesus, back to the resurrection, back to new life, back to new beginnings, back to repentance. All these things that are foundational in God's word, we have to go back to that again and again and again. And it's okay, guys. It's okay to go back to it daily. You don't have to read everything that's in the Bible. I think you should, but you don't have to. You do, however, need to go back to Jesus again and again and again and again, knowing his character inside and out. What would Jesus do? How would Jesus react to this? Why is Jesus allowing these things to happen again and again and again? We're not following the patterns of the world. We're following our Savior. Okay, we're following our Savior. We are going to make mistakes, by the way. All have sinned. Okay, this church was perfect until I walked in this morning. It's true. I mean, we're sinners. We are made perfect by the cleansing power of the blood of Christ. We're made perfect. God sees us as perfect. But in a fleshly sense, we're sinners. We are. Sometimes we recognize our sin and repent of it. I think probably most of the time we are too dull to even recognize it. Okay, so maybe that's something to humble us enough to see our need for forgiveness and our need for the cross. Okay, strategies. Big strategies. Okay, objective one of Satan. He wants to divide us. He wants to divide us. Note the scripture here. I'll return to it. Objective two. He wants to deceive us. Okay, I have here sincere seeming people who have been deceived. Church, we will all be deceived. We will all be deceived. The very nature of the word deceived means you don't realize it. And so how do we realize it? We read it, realize it from God, from the Holy Spirit, from brothers and sisters in our life, from praying, from fasting, from begging God to see ourselves clearly. Big picture, we become very self-aware. We become very self-aware of who we are, what our tendencies are. When I'm really tired and stressed, my tendencies are very, very different. And I can get really sharp and short. And so when I'm really tired, you know what my best course of action is? Zip it. Zip it until I get my heart in the right place. Because likely, something's going to come out that shouldn't have come out. Yeah. And so a lot of times, I have to say, Jackie, my wife, honey, I'm really, really tired. Hold my hand. Give me that little tap if I'm getting close to the edge. Okay, give me that little signal. Shut your mouth, Ted. Shut your mouth. That's enough. I need that. And I share this with you. Oh, I need it. I need it. Old self, new self, man, there's still something in me that wants to become the old guy again. So he's destroyed, but or defeated, but not yet destroyed. So there's still a part of him that's in me, just like Satan in the world. That's an awful analogy. But anyway, okay. Objective three, demoralize. Striking as close to the good shepherd as possible. My goodness. It's one thing if Satan is striking at the sheep, but it's one thing if Satan is striking at the whole flock or those who are tending to the flock. Don't you think, everybody, he knows that? I don't know how to say this. Leaders, and I'm not talking directly at Duncan and Lisa here. I'm talking leaders. Leaders of a house, family group leaders, ministry leaders, yes, church leaders, elders. Satan's prime target. He's going to go after the leaders, everybody. How can you help protect them? We'll talk about that at the end in terms of how can we help protect one another. Okay? Now, before we go on, just some reminders about Jesus. Did Judas sin against Jesus? Oh yeah, he sure did. How did Jesus talk to him? My goodness, he called him friend. I don't know why he called him friend, to be honest with you. He didn't seem like much of a friend. But that's how Jesus chose to see him. Yeah, it didn't mean that the friend didn't do incredibly sinful things. He did. But Jesus maintained himself. He maintained a level of self-control. He certainly spoke the truth, right? But he was in control when he did. Peter, afterwards, Simon, do you love me? Peter said, I'll never leave you. And he left him all right. He left him pretty quick. He left him in the dust. And so how is he reconciling with Peter? Think of the things he could have said to Peter. He could have crushed Peter, and Peter wouldn't be capable of leading himself out of a wet paper bag. He didn't do it. He called him back. Feed the sheep. Take care of the lambs. Put your battle rattle back on, Peter. You got out of uniform. Put it back on and get in the fight. You've mourned long enough. Frankly, too much. Get back in the fight, Peter. I need you to take care of the sheep. I need you to feed the sheep. I need you. And I think we have to look at these things and ask ourselves, is this the heart that we have? On the cross, of all places, speaking to humanity, past humanity, present humanity, humanity for the future, speaking to us, Father, forgive them. Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Can we say the same thing to one another? Can we say, Father, forgive them? Help them to stop sinning, Father. But, Father, forgive them. They're confused. They don't see it. Lord, maybe I'm confused. Father, forgive me. And so there's a humility here that needs to take over when we're in these times. And I'm not saying the humility of we just sit down with our bottle and suck our thumbs. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying we have to follow the ways of Christ, especially when we're in the fight, especially then. And then Saul. Whew, Saul was the worst of enemies for Jesus. My goodness. Look what happened to him. What if those brothers and sisters around Saul just flat out refused to forgive him? That they hung labels on him and name called and called him this and tore him down and beat him. Where would we be without all the epistles that Saul wrote? It's really incredible to think of it that way. Yeah, Saul sinned. Saul had people put to death. Yet there was forgiveness. Whew. Now he had to repent, right? He clearly had to repent. You're not going to invite that guy back into the camp if he's continuing to wreak havoc. But Saul was amazing, and Jesus had an intention to use him. Now, did Jesus purify him? He did. Did he have to suffer? He suffered a lot, everybody. He most certainly did. So I think we have to look at these things and reflect on them and think about them. Remember, we're not angry people. That's not, who are you? Oh, we're the people of anger. We can't be that. We can't. We're the people of God. We're the people of Christ. We have to imitate him. Yes, there were times when Jesus was angry. He used that for great effect in terms of promoting God and glorifying God. And it was here and it was gone. It was here and it was gone. So anger itself is not a sin. Okay, it's an emotion given to us, a powerful emotion given to God. But we have to learn to use it and submit it. It has to be underneath us, meaning it has to be underneath the Lord. Okay, all right, so that's strategies. Let's talk about tactics. Strategies are great big things. Tactics are little techniques here, little procedures, and these are the little things that he just kind of gets in there. Ooh, ouch, that hurts. And so this is the way that Satan works. He instills doubt. He instills doubt. We see a leader, and the leader falls short of the glory of God. The leader's tired, the leader's stressed, the leader's beat up, and we start to doubt. Do they really love God? Do they really love the church? I saw Ted sin today, and three times actually today. Is Is he trying to repent? Satan gets in there and causes doubt. And that doubt can be in our marriages, right? It can be in our parenting. It can be in ourselves. It can be in the one another relationships. It can be with any leader. Again, as we've talked about, Satan will absolutely go after leaders. Does that mean that we forgive him and march on and say nothing? Of course not. Of course not. We help them. We point things out to them. We come alongside them and say, man, leader, you're carrying an awful lot of weight. Can I carry some of that for you? I don't need to lead. I don't want to lead. But can I at least take some of that weight that you're carrying and ease the burden that you're obviously feeling right now? Can I pray for you? And sometimes, yes, we have to say, hey, bro, hey, sis, let's look at a scripture here. You know, I think you missed the mark yesterday. That's okay. But we do it directly, right? We don't, whatever, put it on our Facebook page or our Twitter account or whatever, like some presidents I know. Not yours, by the way. So, you know, I think in all these things, everybody, we have to look very carefully. He accuses us. Okay? Man, there's times when I think, God, I can't do things that I used to be able to do. Physically, I can't do them. My memory is failing me so bad. And I must admit, everyone, it's very embarrassing. It really is. There are people that I've known all my life, and in that moment that I'm talking with them, I can't remember their name. I can get it right in a multiple choice question, but I can't pull it out of my random access memory because that it's full. And so I just can't pull it out. I've known them all my life, and you feel, oh my goodness, if I can't remember somebody's name, how am I going to remember details of a conversation that we had? You see how Satan works? I mean, I'll be 63 this year. I'm approaching, I think, a phase of life where I should be at my most useful to God. And yet, for a little thing like memory, it can, you know, say I can let Satan accuse me through that and think I shouldn't be leading at all. Okay. His other tactic, everybody, is he wants to isolate us. He's going to gain a foothold by isolating. Now, here's a military example. If we're facing a stronghold in the military, like this really, really well-defended position, a bridge, and let's say it's a bridge across a river and it's the only bridge for 50 miles. We got to get that bridge, don't we? So how do we do it, knowing that the enemy is trying to defend that bridge? We isolate it. We isolate it. We put an invisible wall around it, and we prevent them from defending it well. And once we isolate it, then we attack it. Not attack to destroy it, but attack to seize it, to make it our possession. You see how Satan wants to work in your life? He wants to isolate you. He wants you to isolate you, and then you become a foothold into the body of Christ. Does everybody hear that? Wow. He wants to use us in really sinister ways. And I do believe, everybody, and I say this not lightly, we're going to mess up. We are. I have a lot. I think in some ways, the harder we try, the more we're going to mess up. Does that mean we shouldn't try? Mm-mm. It means that we need to be able to recognize these things. We need to have brothers and sisters in our life that we know will speak the truth in love to us. Not tear us down, not destroy us, not take away our self-esteem. No, we need to be built up. We do need to be built up. I surely need to be built up. I'm laughing because all I can do at some point is laugh at myself. Duncan, we were talking about this morning, and I'm so glad that God gives us a sense of humor, because I see in my life, I have to take me a lot less seriously and God a lot more seriously. because I make a lot of mistakes, and some of them are doozies. I mean, it's just like, you know, it's embarrassing, but it's like, well, amen. I have grace. I have Jesus. I can repent. I can apologize. I can get back to that do-over. I can rewind it, and I can live on and learn from it. And that's a really good deal for us, okay? All right. So, signs someone is vulnerable or under attack. This is the trigger portion. Every one of these I have experienced since I've been in Durban. Every one. Okay? At least at a temptation level. I'm not saying that I've just quit and given in to these things. Satan's knocking on the door. I mean, he's trying to get in. And so withdrawing, my goodness. I went through a phase a few years ago, right in the COVID mess, and it was really hard for me to be in groups of people, and I don't know why, but it just made my heart race. And I was so eager to get home. Was that Satan? Was that COVID? Yes, I mean, why would they be different? I think Satan really worked through COVID, everybody. I don't know that we've recovered yet. Okay, so withdrawing, becoming hard to reach, hard to get a hold of. Some people say, hey, Ted, I'm texting you, I'm WhatsApping you, I'm calling you, I'm not hearing from you. We have to be reachable, everybody. We do, okay? By the way, there is a time when I put my cell phone aside. There really is. I can't be tethered to that thing 24 hours a day. And that really interferes with my relationships and having deep water conversations with people. So take that the way I meant it. Bitterness and cynicism. I will have 90-minute conversations with brothers and sisters who will rail on me for an hour, 60 to 90 minutes straight, without ever stopping. And at some point, I say, hey, take a breath. Have I sinned against you? Yes. Okay. What was the sin? I don't know. A lot of times in those conversations, they bring up things that happened to them before I met them. So what's really happening? They're just bitter. And bitter doesn't need to be a dirty word, everybody. It happens to us. What's that old saying? Bitterness is a tonic you prepare for somebody else, but you drink it and then it kills you. And I'm sure I messed that up, but it's something like that, where we have to be aware that if we don't work through our hurts and our pains, and when people let us down, we become bitter. When we have dreams that we aim for and that doesn't happen, it's all these things. I think bitterness is very natural. We all experience bitterness. Repenting of it is supernatural. Now we're relying on God, and we're talking about it, and we're praying about it, and we're memorizing scripture and reciting scriptures, and it's over and over and over again. We're taking the bitterness and we're replacing it with Christ. We're so focused on Christ that the bitterness, there's just no room for it. Can I bring up some of what we talked about, Wilson? Everybody knows what you've been through in the last year. Yeah, you know, Wilson lost his job. And he'd worked for this employer for 16 years, right? And just, boom, we don't need you anymore. Oh, what a horrible thing to happen to a human being. Well, whether they're a disciple of Christ or not, it's a horrible way to treat people. Horrible way to treat people. Gosh, he's had to spend months working through his bitterness, and praise God, and from my estimation, he has. And you know what we should say? There you go, bro. Way to go. That's awesome. I mean, that's encouraging. And all of you have those stories. All of you have those stories. And I think we have to dwell on such stories. And I think we need to share good things like that and good news. And I'm sure many of you helped him along and helped him through those things. So it's very, very exciting. Scriptures. How are we with the scriptures? Are we getting a little fuzzy with our Bible? Does it feel dry? And do we feel like we're in this rut? And it's just, oh, I've done this a million times and it doesn't really mean much to me right now. It's a sign, okay? Uncharacteristic anger. When it was a kind of a fit of rage, you know, where it's like, you know, and your spouse goes, what's going on? I mean, you really lost your temper with the kids. That's unlike you, or that's not your pattern. That's not your way. It's uncharacteristic. And then finally, everybody, it's carrying secrets. Who in here has something that you're keeping a little bit secret due to shame? Thank you. Thank you. Thanks for your honesty. I think if we're honest with ourselves, we always have something that we'd rather not share with people. I think it's those things that we have to share. Okay, so this is signs, everybody. Signs that someone is vulnerable to attack or they're under attack. Now, what should we do when we see somebody? Should we just say, they'll be okay? Should we just say something nice to them and walk? No. I mean, this is where the Proverbs 20, verse 5, a person's heart is deep waters, but a man or woman of understanding draws them out. We find a way over time that we can have the conversations with this person, and using God's word, directly or indirectly, we draw their hearts out. And we show ourselves to them as an ally. Hey, Wilson, I'm on your side, bro. I know what you're going through, man. I'm so sorry. I'm on your side. Because oftentimes when we go through these things, we sin, right? We do. And so now we got the sin, and now you're snuggling up next to somebody. You know, you're trying to get in there. You're trying to serve them. You're trying to be kind to them. You're trying to build them up. You're trying to maybe be vulnerable with them and share your own struggles. Why? Because you care for them. You care for them. You love them. It doesn't always work, by the way. I mean, it kind of takes two to tango, right? So sometimes people aren't they're just not ready. Should we just withdraw and give up? No. We should. We continue to pray. We continue to love them. We continue to speak kindly to them and about them. And we put our hope and faith in Christ Jesus. Okay? So, brings us back to this, our weapons, the full armor of God. And I want us to really, really think about this, guys. We've read this scripture before. And I'm going to go quickly through this. My goodness. Paul tells us to put on the belt of truth. The belt of truth comes from God and God alone. It comes from God and God alone. We got to go to His Word. It's His Word. It's taken in context. It's the principles of God. It's Ten Commandments type of stuff where we're looking at ethics, meaning how do we treat one another? Very, very basic things. We do certain things, we don't do other things. It's difficult, it is, but it's the belt of truth. The breastplate of righteousness. Is it our righteousness? I don't think so. I think it's Christ's righteousness. Yes, we're a reflection of that righteousness, and we should try to be as close as an exact representation of His righteousness as we can. Oh, I don't think most people are going to look at me and automatically see Christ. You know, my sin is just too prevalent. But that doesn't mean I'm not going to hold on to it and strive for it and try to become for it and beg God for it as much as I can. We're putting on the boots of the gospel. I like that, the boots of the gospel. Firm footing in the good news. We're taking the good news to people. Hey, this is a mess of a world, and we've had a mess of a week inside this mess of a month, characterized by this mess of a year. But you know what? Jesus is still Lord, everybody. He still died for our sins. He still overcame death and is resurrected, and he promises us that he will never leave us. He will never forsake us. We have him for eternity unless we choose to live him, or leave him rather. The boots of the gospel, the shield of faith, our faith, putting our trust in God as the arrows come in. It hits the arrow, the shield of faith, and it just vanishes. It hits us, I suppose, but the sting is gone. The flame is gone. You know, I'll never forget the last time my dad used to hit me, meaning as you'd hit a child, spank. We would be the, and his chosen instrument was the belt. He didn't hit hard with it, and he was pretty good about it. But I'll never forget, you know, the last time he used the belt on me, I snickered, meaning I was, you know, you're tensing up and, you know, squeezing your cheeks and all these things, trying to prepare for it. And then the belt hits you. It's like, that wasn't so bad. That, you know? And I, you know, and I thought, oh, here it comes. And I turn around and I look at my dad, and he's got this big smile on his face, and he goes, okay, son, I think that's the last time I'm going to do that. You know, you've grown up past this. And so I was still afraid of the belt, but it had no sting anymore. And so I don't know what I'm trying to tell you, but I think our faith takes the sting out of Satan's punches. He still punches us. Okay? But it's like, all right, turn the other cheek. You got me there. Try this one. That wasn't so bad. That wasn't so bad. He's still out there, everybody, but it takes his power away. And then finally, oh my goodness, the helmet of salvation. Oh, why would you ever take your helmet off? Not even close. I mean, you're not keeping that helmet on. You're going to wear it correctly. You're not going to, like, just sit it on the top of your head and unbutton your chin strap and, you know, where somebody could knock it off you. Or not just some flimsy helmet that's not going to stop anything, but you know, makes the requirement of the law. No. You're going to get the best helmet on that you can possibly get, and you're going to keep it. You're going to be the Mandalorian. You're never going to take that thing off, okay? It's part of your identity. And when Satan comes and tries to accuse you, helmet. No, Satan. Helmet of salvation right here. I hear what you're saying to me, those awful words that make me feel awful or whatever. Helmet of salvation. I'm forgiven. I'll try to do better, but I'm forgiven. Okay? And I really think it's a little bit of attitude. But it's an attitude because Jesus is defending us. Not because we're all that. It's because Jesus is defending us. Last one. Sword of the Spirit. Sword of the Spirit. What's the sword of the Spirit? It's the Word of God. You know, in Matthew 4, Jesus was tempted by Satan. He'd been fasting for how long? 40 days. And Satan comes to him, and he attacks him. But in the last attack, what did Satan do? Oh, I'm sorry, before that, how did Jesus respond to Satan's attacks? With Scripture. But in the last attack, what did Satan do? He used Scripture. Completely out of context. But he used it. But Satan couldn't get past Jesus' knowledge of God. And that has to be us, brothers and sisters. We can't let Satan get past our knowledge of the Word of God. And it's more than knowledge, it's us just holding on to it. I mean, we're holding on, like we're wrapping our arms and we're wrapping our feet, we're wrapping our fingers and toes. We're just hanging on to words, to God's word, not our own knowledge and not the wisdom of this world. It's God that we're hanging on to through his word. It's the only thing in Ephesians 6 that's an offensive weapon, meaning we can actually go on the offensive and get Satan running from us by using the word of God. After Jesus used the word of God, what did Satan eventually do? He fled. He left him. One of the versions of that scripture says, to come back at a more opportune time. Defeated enemy, but not destroyed yet. He's still out there. He's desperate, but he's not destroyed. Okay? Okay. We know the scriptures on the tongue, everybody. My goodness. Are we using our tongue for godly purposes, or are we using our tongue in a way that Satan would want us to do it? I don't know what to tell you on this one except pray. We're hopeless. We are hopeless. We have to put our hope and trust in God as many times as possible. You know, before we say something to one another, I think we need to stop and we need to ask ourselves, what scripture am I using right now? And if I'm not using a scripture, then maybe I ought not say it. If we can't hang a scripture on it, then maybe we're doing Satan's work. I just think we have to slow down. We don't need to attack each other. We need to think very carefully about how we're approaching these things. And we are hopeless, everybody. We are, okay? But we have grace, okay? And we can mature and we can grow in these things. So the more we understand God's word and the more we live in God's word and the more we ask God to take his word and put it into our heads and hearts and replace Satan's junk and the world's junk that's in there, the better that we're going to do, okay? My goodness, every one of these slides is a sermon in and of itself, okay? All right, so I want to talk a little bit about this last part here. And it's entitled, Protect Your Leaders. Clearly, leaders are going to be under special attack by Satan, okay? If Satan can assassinate a leader or multiple leaders, it's hard. It's very hard. And he absolutely will come after leaders. So what does that mean? Well, we need to have confidence in our leaders. Okay? We need to make their work a joy. If we're not making their work a joy, then Satan has an open flank to attack. Okay? Now, when I say leaders here, am I talking about Duncan and Lisa? Well, sure, but I'm talking about a lot more than Duncan and Lisa. How about the leader of our family? How about the leaders of the ministry? How about our song leaders? How about our kids' kingdom leaders? And a lot of times that the way that we can help leaders the most is just be loving servants and ask, gosh, it looks like you're stretched pretty thin. How can I help? How can I help you? Can I take some of this load off you? Can I take some of this burden off you? Okay? So there's got to be a covenant here among us. Okay? And it's not just putting leaders on a pedestal. That's not the point at all. Leaders are servants. But because they're servants with a special task, they're really an easy target for Satan to come after. They're an easy target for Satan to come after. Okay, so again, this is a series of sermons all in and of itself. But we have to have a covenant here within the church where we're trying our best to take care of one another and protect each other from Satan's flaming arrows. Amen, church?
Amen.
Amen. And by the way, I've been super encouraged with you guys. I mean, you've encouraged me so much. And just the enthusiasm that you've shown and the talks that we've had and the sermons and being around you and the trips and the Saturday afternoon thing that we did in terms of development, spiritual development, really, really encouraged by you. Okay? Amen. Okay, so we're getting close to the end. We die together. We die on a cross together. We rise together. We're resurrected together. We do the work of Christ together. 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 We have to come back to together. Together. It's Christianity is not a Lone Ranger affair. It's not Hayo Silver and we're doing this all by ourselves. Okay, we're not a conqueror. We're more than conquerors. Much more than conquerors. But the way the body of Christ works is together. And those parts of the body come together and we protect one another from a defeated enemy. Satan's already defeated. He's just not yet destroyed. So he's angry. He wants vengeance. He wants revenge. Yes, he's going to come after us. But the closer we stay together, the better off we're going to be. Okay? Okay, so let's see the end of the video here, and then we'll go on to communion. Keep swimming, church. Keep swimming. Together. Together. When we're confused and we're under attack and we're not sure what's going on and we're not communicating well, we're all going in different directions and we're defeating each other. We're defeating ourselves. And in some ways, we neutralize God because we're not together. He needs us to be unified. He does, okay? It's easy to get confused. It's easy to be hurt. It's easy to feel like we shouldn't be vulnerable because being vulnerable, we can feel exposed. And I suppose in some ways we are, but what's being exposed is the sin that's so prevalent among us. And that's Satan. That's his scheme. In a sense, he's to blame. But we have to look at ourselves, okay, so that we can defeat the enemy. I think as we take communion, and this is something we always need to do, but we have to examine ourselves. Have we given Satan a foothold? Have we taken our armor and peeled it back a little bit so that he can get to our heart with just one flaming arrow, just one? Okay? We have to expose these things to one another, not to Satan, but to one another. Have we isolated ourselves? Or have we drifted away? What about our tongues? The tongue is a mighty weapon for God. It's the only offensive weapon we have as we use the Word of God. But if we're not using the Word of God, the tongue is a horrible thing. Now, I shared with you, when I'm tired, when I'm overly tired, I just can't speak. I don't trust myself to speak. I'll keep my mouth shut, or the only thing I'll say would be a scripture, as in cracking it open and reading it, even if I have it memorized. That act of doing that and sharing it with somebody, it's just so calming. It's amazing. It really is. And finally, just remember, repentance is a beautiful thing, everybody. Okay, it's not a four-letter word. It's a beautiful thing. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and he's just, and he will forgive us our sins. He will purify us from all unrighteousness, and he will return us to a righteous state. Really important to remember, okay? Really important to remember. I'm very proud of you. I feel a little bit like a father in that regard. I don't get to see you all the time, but when I do, I'm just amazed. I don't know if you know how amazing you are. I hope Satan hasn't taken that away from you. If he has, I'm giving it back to you right now. Okay? This is an amazing part of God's body, the body of Christ. Cherish it. Love it. Give your hearts to it. And we're going to be just fine, all right? Jesus is Lord. Let's pray.